Michael Jackson has become the leading face of the television sweeps. To say the least, TV programs about his plastic surgery and his unusual fascination with children have damaged the self-crowned King of Pop's reputation. But Rolling Stone music writer Touré still can't look away.
One night, 20 years ago, back when Michael Jackson was the planet's biggest star, Berry Gordy and NBC organized Motown 25. All the old Motown legends showed up, and there was even a Jackson 5 reunion because that was something people got excited about back then. But the entire globe was waiting for no one but Michael. Up to that night, Michael was like a singing King Midas. First, he was a child star with a world-class voice. And the cutest brown face in America. Then in 79, at just 20 years old, he and Quincy Jones constructed Off the Wall, the best album of his career. A flawless collection of silky pop confection that's impossible to not dance to. An album so good it's outlived disco, the genre from which it sprung. And then came Thriller. With Michael's big voice not singing but performing the songs over deeply textured, almost cinematic tracks, the whole thing seemed like high-tech show tunes. That night, Motown 25 night, May 16th, 1983, he sang Billie Jean, then turned sideways, and introduced a move that both Crazy Legs, the Breakdance King, and Fred Astaire would have loved, the moonwalk. That night, America lost its collective mind, but I suspect so did Michael. Because ever since that night, it's been a slow, sad ride downhill. No one knew that Motown 25 was the end of the beginning. 10 years ago, after a few lackluster albums, the beginning of the end arrived when Michael was sued by a 13-year-old boy for sexual battery and then went on television to cry about the police examining and photographing his body.
It was the most humiliating ordeal of my life.
If the move was meant to garner sympathy, it failed. Since then, the man who once could do no wrong just can't seem to do much of anything right. He settled with the boy for 8 figures, and since then, his career has become less and less about music and more about his cornucopia of weirdnesses. The worst of them all, that ever-morphing face, which has become that of a sickly, under-tanned, under-fed, white Beverly Hills trophy wife who's closer to her plastic surgeon than her hairdresser. If the goal was to look like Cruella de Vil from 101 Dalmatians, he's almost there. That face is now too grotesque to let anything he says or sings be taken seriously. The sideshow has become the whole show. His last album, Invincible, found just 2 million American buyers, while interviewer Martin Bashir's recent documentary captured an audience of 27 million. We're bored with the King of Pop, but unable to turn away from the King of Creepy. What stood out to me in the Bashir documentary was Michael Jackson's amazing lack of self-awareness. How he seems to have no sense that his behavior will translate into disgust for him. Lifelong mega fame has left him unable to understand reality. He's been so eccentric and so secluded for so long, I don't think he really realizes he's bizarre. That complete lack of self-awareness is why only public disgrace lies in Jackson's future. There's no doubt that the King of Creepy will go right on creating epic, grotesque, pathetic theater for many years to come. Even though his music career is over, sadly, the circus called Michael Jackson is not.
Touré goes by that one name and writes about popular music for Rolling Stone. He's also the author of The Portable Promised Land, a collection of short fiction.